The next sermon is by Elder Spear, W.A. Spear.
I think I can quote it to you. I won't miss it much. I won't take up the time. But God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness and shine in our hearts. Give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's couplet. About verbatim it is. It's somewhere over in Corinth. Now over here, the apostle said that the scripture we read, that same light. Light shining in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shine in our hearts, to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That light cometh down from heaven. That light cometh down from God. Shines in the darkness of this old human nature, and it doesn't comprehend. This Adam man, this old sinner, and that's what we all are by nature, this old sinner doesn't comprehend that light that cometh down from God. Jesus is that light. All of the things concerning God is of that light. It shines in the darkness of nature, and the nature comprehends it not. Never has comprehended it, brethren and sisters, by the wisdom of the Lord, and never will. Never will. Haven't got the capacity to, haven't got the power, haven't got the know-how. We're poor, depraved creatures by nature. We've all fallen under the just condemnation of the law of sin and death. And except that God lifts us out of there, except God sent his Son, redeem us, to die for us, suffer for us, those that he'd chosen in Christ Jesus, as this brother said a few moments ago. I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, if I know anything about myself, I believe that in the heaven of eternity, before the foundation of the world, God chose his people out of the fallen race of Adam, wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, from before the foundation of the world. He chose them out of that fallen race of Adam that was in just condemnation. It was his purpose by his grace, mercy, and to have, in order to have his a bride for his son, the church of the living God, of which he is the head of the church of the living God. He designed that he should have that church. He's the head of the church. In the end of eternity, he told them in Christ Jesus, wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, sent him into this program of sin and sorrow. And at the appointed time, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea of the Virgin Mary. You know, every time I think about that virgin that is born of, I think about this new Bible that worldly wisdom has written up. You know what it calls her? A young woman. Young woman. Ever since that I can remember, ever since I was a little child, I've heard different people preach, and I'm not saying this to criticize them anyway, as men, and don't criticize them being honest about it and all that, but I've heard people preach all the days of my life, and they don't believe that Mary was a virgin, and they don't believe in the divinity of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but they're afraid to ever say anything about it because they know it's in the Bible. All along you've heard ministers of various denominations that they'll tell you they don't believe in the virginity of Mary, and don't believe in the divinity of Jesus, but it's in the Bible, and they know it, and they've never been able heretofore to denounce it as being the truth. But now then, you'll find out they've written them up a book. They've written them up a book. All of these new versions, if you'll examine them, you'll find out that now that book says that, behold, a young woman shall conceive. A young woman shall conceive. Well, you know, that enables them now to preach what they believe about it. They don't believe that Mary was a virgin, and they don't believe in the divinity of the only begotten Son of God, who was the Savior of his people. Now, this is the divine character of that is born to the Virgin, of Mary. I am Bethlehem of Judea, born of a virgin. He was the Son of God, and he came into this world. He was delivered up for the sin of his people. He never has offered to save anybody. He never will offer to save anybody. He didn't come down to offer salvation out of the whole world or any part of it. Fear as our creatures could make it, and they thought they had it sealed and secure. They did what they told them. They did all they could. But thanks unto God, it was sufficient. As the third day, he came forth victorious over hell and the grave. As Brother Don Lee so wonderfully I referred to this morning, he came forth victorious in that resurrection, brethren and sisters, as we died and suffered and died for the redemption of each and every one of these. Shed his blood to cleanse them from all sin. He came forth on the third day, victorious over death and hell. And in that way, in that event, and on that occasion, I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, as we understand it, he justified every one of them by being raised from the tomb. He arose for their justification. And today, as a few of us, that hope, we had the mercy on us. Hopefully one of those that he thought about before the foundation of the world, and wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all of this that was done, we our hope and our own hope is that we embrace in that little band, a little remnant out of the Adamic race. It's just a remnant out of the Adamic race, as we understand from the Bible. Our hope is that we embrace in all of those things, and that we stand in the sight of God today. Not on our Adamic ability, not on anything that's any good in us within and of ourselves, but his arising victorious there. We trust, we feel confident every one of God's children is in that category, but each whatever hope that we one of them in that wonderful glory. Glorious, I'm going to stand before God the Father today. After from the width and breadth of this whole world, out of every age of this world, out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue, throughout the entire our world, this little remnant, these that I'm talking about, stand before God the Father in the righteousness of the blessed Son of God. Is that a wonderful thing to be given? I'd hope that you're in that category, in that band of people that stand before God the Father in the Lordship of Jesus Christ by his work, and justified in him, not in any church denomination, not in any good works we can do, not in anything that we've ever done or entitled to. But he stands in our law. Isn't that a wonderful, mighty working of God the Almighty and Jesus Christ as he did all of this work? And then I believe this scripture here, light shines in darkness, that light come from on high, God's light shines in the darkness of this old nature, and we don't comprehend it. We never would comprehend it. We don't know anything about it within and of ourselves. Shines in the darkness of this nature, and this old darkness comprehends it not. doesn't come about by anything, any good work we've done. And come about by the thing we've been able to perform. Doesn't come about by solidarity in us, because we have them. It is in trespasses and in sin. Come into this world that way. Take that away, except this light from on high shines in the darkness of nature. Give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Not by works of righteousness we've done, but by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Ghost. That's God's way of salvation. God, dear people, talk about the God of salvation. That's God's way of salvation. That's what God ordained. That's what God was pleased to do in the animal of the family. He desired to have a bride for his only blessed and begotten Son of God. His bride, the church, the Apostle Paul called it the general assembly, somewhere over there in his right. The church of the living God. The church of the living God. He gave his life for it. He shed his blood to cleanse them from their sin. You know, I like to think about that. I know there's a lot of folks that believe that you get yourself the good. I'm not sure to criticize it, but I've heard them talk about you just turn to do good and get yourself the good. Get yourself cleansed, so that you're without sin. No sin at all. I quote that that is Jesus Christ, God says, cleanses us from all sin. I don't believe that means what they're talking about, that they don't know commitment for sin, because I realize that commit sin all the time. You know, if the thoughts of foolishness, I believe the Bible says, if you can't have foolish thoughts, you just think of that. Many, many things we do that just natural things. That's all sin. What's this expression here? I made this statement somewhere one time. John said that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Somebody told me, said, well, you think you're sinless, man. I said, you ought not to be where you are. I said, I don't know any of those old princes that way. That good, but you ought to go join the Holy Ghost. You know what God did? He cleansed us from the dominion of sin. He took those Aaron and prophets and God gave him the animal of eternity. By his very short work, he cleansed them from out from under the dominion of sin. He didn't stop them from sinning in the flesh. Do that all the time. They're not stopped from that. Never would die if you sin. Never would die. Sin finished, bring it forth. But you know, the Apostle Paul told us, I think, about that, and I'm probably quoting about what he said, but I thought, well, the reason is the faith and sin through Jesus and so forth. It's not charged to them, it's charged to them. He took their sins upon himself. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, more under the law, but you're under grace. Sin has no dominion over you because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. There's a lot of difference in that. I believe that our poor little children long to stay in this world, they'll commit sin. Come to see it. If there's a brother or sister, well, go to another church. There's never one die natural death, sin finished, break it forth to death. They've got to die and go back to the ground from whence they came. They'll sin as long as they stay in this world. But thanks unto God, it has no dominion over. They're not under the law, but they're under grace. I want to tell you the reason. They're not under the law, and that they are under grace is because God cursed in the annals of eternity, and he's the God that spoke this world into existence. He's the God. everlasting, has no beginning of days. He'll have no ending of days. He's an eternal, self-existing God that knows all things, has fixed all things, determined all things, chose his people in his Son Christ Jesus for his bride, the church of the living God, and he's going to send him back. He's coming back at the end of this dispensation. He's coming back now and gather them home to glory, everlasting one of them, without the loss of a one. He's coming the second time without sin unto salvation, and there isn't any question about that. The Bible says he's coming the second time without sin unto salvation, coming in glory, and he's going to raise the vile bodies, the Bible says, of each and every one of these, how that he died for each and every one of these, how that he shed his blood to cleanse them from their sin. Each and every one of these, they arose victorious for their justification, ascended back to the Father on high at the end of the time that he was here, from the time he was resurrected. He walked and he talked, as we understand from the description over there of his disciples. And I want to tell you, a wonderful thing took place. It seems to me, as they walking and talking with the disciples for 40 days in this little band of sin and sorrow, as we had rolled, walked and talked with them. I really was over there in the first chapter, I believe it is, of the Acts of the Apostles. They were all assembled over there, and lo and behold, I told you this, I guess, a good many times. I was so wonderful to me, I never do get tired of telling you about it. Over there, in the first act, in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the men of Galilee was over there with him. He had asked them back there in the latter part of the Gospel according to Luke. He said, what Christ who suffered these things and are gone on to glory, or something to that effect. All he suffered, all of these things that he suffered, and then he said it behooved him to suffer, and to redeem him, and so forth. I am the substance of it, and therefore, they were over there, about the 40th day, as we walked and talked with him. Sometimes we recognized him, sometimes we didn't, during all of that 40 days. But there he stood with them, and all of a sudden, two men dressed in white, as I remember it, appeared there with them, brethren and sisters. I've always thought, I want to read somewhere in the Bible how that men are dressed in white. I've always considered they were angels from God, and those that are dressed in white. I believe those two characters over there are dressed in white. Were angels from heaven, and they were all of a sudden, picked up from them there in a cloud, and they were standing gazing at him, and these two are dressed in white, as I designate in my thinking about it, as angels from on high. They said underneath those men in of Galilee, those are the families of the Savior. As they stood and gazed as he went out of the sight, they said something like this, as I remember, you ye men of Galilee, why do you stand here and gaze? This same Jesus, I will in like manner come again, as you see him taken up. He went up, brethren and sisters, and I remember that, in a cloud. He's coming again in the cloud, and they're gonna meet him up there in the clouds. They'll be raised up into the clouds and meet the Lord in there. Somewhere over in about the latter part of the fourth chapter of Thessalonians, it says that he's coming, the angel with him. The angel's coming in the clouds, and they'll be raised up according to that, to meet the Lord in there. He went away in the clouds after he had performed what God sent him to do in this low ground of sin and sorrow. And he finished the work the Father gave him to do. He went away in the clouds, Very likely, the way I feel about it, are that Jesus is coming the second time without sin unto salvation, and gather his elect up from the four winds of the earth, from one end of heaven to the other, carry them home to glory, there to be with him, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, from here on out, without any end, throughout all of the end of eternity. Go into it. They'll see him as he is. I'll be like him, and blessed be God, be satisfied. That's what the Bible says. They'll dwell with him forever and ever. I'm not making that prophecy, but I'm talking about that's what everything indicates. I can't help but feel that way about it. But no doubt, the end of this 2,000 years will be his second advent into this low ground of sin and sorrow to gather his jewels home to be with him. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, we've never lived in such a day and age as we live in. You just think about what all's going on. All of the indications, all of the signs of the time indicate how that this is the time that is spoken of. You've never seen anything like it. See, huh? I was pretty much amused, you know. I thought about something I hadn't thought about. I never did. Some of you may have heard me tell this, but one night the wife said, I want you to take this magazine here and read an article that a woman wrote recently, that she knows a lot more about the end of time and the end of the world than you do. And I hear you talk about it's coming to an end someday. Hear you talk about Jesus coming the second time to gather his people home to glory. But you tell them you don't know the day and hour. I don't believe that the Son of Man knows either. He said nobody but the Father knew. The day and hour. He said, well, listen, I want you to read this article here. It says there's a woman, she knows the exact year about it. Because she done got it all figured out. She's a long ways ahead of you. Said, well, when she said it'd be 2016. Year 2016. And said, she doesn't call it the end of the world, second coming of Christ, but she called it Doomsday.
That's what everybody calls it.
World coming to an end, they call it Doomsday. That's the first time I've thought of that in a long time. I said, she's way ahead of you. She knows the year it's going to take place. I said, well, I don't believe she knows it. She said, but I'm afraid she's making a pretty close guess about it. She said, well, it's just 16 years it's going to take place, and when you speculate it, Mike. I said, well, speculating is all right, too. Know these 2,000 years, all of them taking place now. That's about 38 years being some more. That abused me. I can remember when I was a child.
There were old people talking about Doomsday and scared of them. That's the end of the world.
Doomsday. She remembered that woman, remembered that. She wrote that article of the second coming of Christ. End of the world, Doomsday.
Well, it doesn't make a difference what you call it. I want to tell you, that if it's not true,
if it's not true that Jesus came to save his people from their sin, like the Bible says, if it's not true that he ascended back to God the Father and sitting at his right hand, like the Bible says, if it's not true that he's coming again, brethren, we're already through.
Already through. He's coming to gather us home to glory.
That's the way I see it. As far as we're concerned, we are all right. But I want to tell you, we've been through all the time we started off on.
Been through all the time, left us. So I want to tell you right now, there isn't anything left that life is.
There isn't anything left but the little children of God in this time of world.
Except to hold in Christ Jesus that God the Father has been pleased to give us.
there, 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. I don't know whether I've told you folks all about this or not, but some old fellow told me one time they all was getting asked me about what the old Primitive Baptists believe. Told me, he said, heard you say something about hope. I don't reckon you ever did read over there in the Bible that you, that bunch of you old Primitive Baptists must be people of all misery, of all. That over there in Corinthians, you ought to read that, says if in this life only you have hope, you're all men most miserable. Said, I never did hear any of you old Primitive Baptists claim anything but hope. Most of you say it's mighty little. Said, you know, you're bound to be of all men most miserable. You know, I got thinking about that. I never had thought much about it. I read that over there. I got thinking about it. But first thing that came to my mind, and now I may be wrong about this, but that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, to my mind, is the resurrection. You know, in my worldly work, I'm supposed to be a lawyer. I've been trying to practice law ever since I knew how to do it. And you know, somebody told me, said, you're just in this church, isn't it? You're just of all men most miserable. That you ought to get up on this business, find out what that is. Says you folks all just claim a little hope. That's what you of all men most miserable. You ought to get you up a second. Well, you know,
I'm afraid I'm just taking up a lot of time.